many times have you watched your favorite movie? At our house, we have seen the movie Forrest Gump, I'm sure, more than 20 times at least. You get to the place where you know each line of dialogue before it happens, but you still want to see it again. Why? Because it touches something deep down in your soul, and it means something to you. In Forrest Gump, many of us who are baby boomers and older are remembering and reliving history from the perspective of a fictional movie. Good stories are like that. You just can't seem to get enough of them because they touch your soul. I believe this is true of the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told, and of this parable of the father and two sons. Some have called it the prodigal son parable. Others have called it the loving father parable. But we're going to look at it, focusing today on the prodigal son, the youngest. It starts out there was a man who had two sons. Starts out just like a typical family. The sons were involved in the family business with their dad of farming. All was going well until the younger son got greedy. He didn't want to wait for his old man to die for his inheritance. He wanted his inheritance now so that he could live his life and spend that money the way he wanted to without anybody, especially his dad, telling him what to do. When we hear this story, we just love to put ourselves in the role of the loving father. Or maybe sometimes we definitely identify with the elder brother. We know all about sibling rivalry. If you've had a brother or a sister or many, you know about sibling rivalry. And they say in psychology that the oldest child is usually the one, the firstborn, who's very responsible, follows the rules of the family. But then there's the baby of the family who gets by with all sorts of things that the parents did not allow when the firstborns were around, the older siblings, when we were young children. I'm an oldest child, by the way. We can't believe how the baby of the family gets pampered and spoiled and seem to get anything they want from our parents. Some of you may have had that experience. But I want to challenge us this morning to focus on the baby, the youngest son, the one called the prodigal, the one who made some poor choices, the son who recklessly wasted his money, his resources, and ended up in the mud with the pigs, with not even a breadcrumb to eat. We may not identify easily with that younger rebel. We may look back on our own childhood and say, oh, we were perfect little angels. But if you talk to our parents, they may not agree. I wonder, this parable is talking about more than a family. It's talking about God's family. God is playing the role here in this story of the loving, compassionate father. The people are playing the role of the rebellious son. The people, including all of us, because we have all sinned and fallen short of God's expectations at times. We all stand in need of God's love and forgiveness. And then there is the role of the older brother, the Pharisee, looking like they despise their brother, the baby, and they think, the older brother thinks that he is so much better than his younger brother ever can be. Self-righteous. Well, the loving father was very generous. Why do you think he agreed to give his young son his inheritance early? He knew his young son wanted to go far away from home and explore the world and sow his wild oats. But I'm sure this probably made the father very sad. He didn't try to control his son, who was a young adult at this time. The father let him go, as hard as it must have been. As parents, that is extremely difficult for us to do. We raise our children, we enjoy being a family, looking out for them, protecting them, and then the day comes when there's an empty nest. Now, my husband was kind of happy when the empty nest came, but I was devastated. I think moms take it harder than dads, I don't know. But many times when the empty nest comes, we cry. 18 years is not long enough. We don't want them to go. They might be hurt out there in the world. They might make a mess of their lives by themselves. They might suffer. We worry. I'm sure the loving father who was watching the road daily for any signs of his son returning home, he was very concerned. He hadn't heard from his son. Was his son dead or alive? He didn't know. What's the best thing for a parent to do? Well, some parents try to rescue their children out of any mess they create. Now, I'm not talking about little kids, although that could be true. I'm talking about young adults. There's a big difference in loving and supporting when they are adults. There's a difference between love and support and an attempt to rescue. We want, as parents, to get them out of their suffering as quickly as possible, but it doesn't work. If they are addicted to drugs or alcohol or gambling or something else that is bad for them, no parent can truly rescue them, as much as they may try. We are powerless over someone else's addiction. Maybe we can offer to arrange treatment for them, but they must want to go for themselves to get help. Otherwise, it doesn't work. As a pastor, I have seen parents mortgage their homes to get their 50-year-old children out of jail for the 50th time. And the children keep living in a bad way, and the parent still tries to rescue their child. It's tragic. As a mother of a son who's incarcerated, we told our son, if you break the law, you have to suffer the consequences. And every time the bail bondsman called, I said, you're wasting your time. We are not going to bail him out of jail. He needs to realize the consequence of his behavior. And he has. You see, our Heavenly Father has given all of us free will to choose between evil or good, and many times we make the wrong choice. Our Father is sad because we suffer because of poor choices. But God can't make us change either. God wants us to change. Parents want their children to change. God will help us to change. But we, as the rebellious ones, must want to change our lives for ourselves. No one can do that for us. God gives us free will. Even God doesn't force us to want change in our lives. The loving father kept hoping that one day his son would come home, but he did not go rescue him out of the pigsty because of the man's poor choices. The young man had to suffer the consequence of his bad behavior, even being hungry. And then one day, these beautiful words, he came to himself. We might say today he came to his senses. And he realized there's a better way to live than the way I'm living. So he thought, even if I go back to my father's home and ask to be a worker, it would be better than the life I have now. The situation had become so grave, he was willing to humble himself to get help, even from his own father, whom he had disrespected. He didn't feel worthy to be his father's son after the way he had treated his father. How many of us at times feel unworthy of the love and grace that God gives to us? However, we are equals as God's children, and that we all stand in need of God's redemption, God's love, God's healing, and God's grace. We're no better than anyone else. And that's why Jesus teaches us, do not judge your brother or sister. We could be in their shoes at any point in our lives. So what does it take for us to realize that we need a change? The answer to that question might be different for every person, but we cannot avoid the consequences of the choices that we make. I have shared with some of you before that in the 7th year of our marriage, Jeff and I were in a terrible conflict and pain. We wanted to go in different directions and we could not move forward. We just kept arguing with each other, with nothing being resolved. I was the one who had so much pride. I said, no, we don't need professional help. We're ministers. We can handle this. Until one day I came to my senses. Time went on, nothing was resolved, and I finally had to admit, I need help. So I humbled myself to go with my husband for marriage counseling. It was the best decision we could have made for our future. That was 33 years ago, and we still are together and have a happy marriage. Counseling can be painful, I know, because a mirror is held up to us, and we have to look at ourselves honestly. Becky Connor, perfect wife in her mind, had to agree to make some changes for the benefit of our marriage. I grew. I learned. I learned some things that my husband needed that I had not noticed before and did not care about before. And Jeff and I became closer, and we had a better marriage because we chose to get some help. The pig pen can take on many forms. It might be a lousy situation at work that needs some changes. It might be our relationship with someone that needs to grow and go in a healthier direction. Yes, it takes time. And healing is a process. I believe it also takes prayer. We can come to God and pray about anything and everything and ask God to lead us in discernment to a better place, out of that pig pen and into a more joyful life. The loving father was so happy when he was reunited with his baby boy. He threw a party to celebrate. My son was dead, and now he's alive. The young man did not expect. What did one of the children say? That he was probably shocked. I think it was Jonathan. That the young man was probably shocked when his father received him so joyfully. He probably thought he was going to get a long lecture with scorn and shame from his father. He didn't expect to be brought back into the family. But his father's love was generous, abundant, and forgiving. This father knew his son had learned some valuable lessons from his bad experiences. And now his son was asking for forgiveness, wanting a different life. Jesus teaches in the scriptures that there is great joy in heaven when one person turns their lives away from evil, repents, changes from their sinful ways, and comes home to God. Every time a person repents, there is joy in heaven. Sadly, though, the older brother was jealous and self-righteous. I can identify with that as an older child. He thought he was so much better than his younger brother. He was filled with anger. He was representing the Pharisees who thought Jesus should not be spending his time with a bunch of losers, eating and being seen with known sinners. But Jesus was teaching the Pharisees something, that God wants every one of his children to come home to him. God loves them so much, he's willing to forgive and help them to start a new life that is better and joyous. So God was filled with joy when his child returned. The elder brother, however, was filled with anger and jealousy and self-righteousness, and he missed the party. He missed the joy. He wouldn't even go in the house. But again, the father's love for the elder brother, he left that party and came outside to talk to the older brother, to show the older brother, I love you. Everything I have, I've shared with you. As long-term church members, we have to be very careful that we don't fall into the role of elder brother sometimes when newcomers come into the family of God and enter with us into the church. We must be filled with joy like Jesus, whoever they are, and do all that we can to celebrate and join together, working side by side to do God's work here in our community. If you look in the mirror and find yourself as a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, the good news is that God wants us, that we can come home to God, and that he will welcome us with open arms. We don't have to be afraid, because God is looking for us, hoping we'll be a part of his family. God's love never ends, and it's always generous. Praise be to God. Amen.